Live from North Hennepin Community College in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, this is the Great Northern Radio Show. Good evening, I'm Aaron Brown. We're broadcasting live from the same stage where former Minnesota governor and professional wrestler Jesse the Body Ventura once portrayed a shirtless, speechless, ancient soldier. As for me, I'm wearing a shirt, so far as you can tell, and we have plenty to say about this shining beacon of the great northern suburbs, Brooklyn Park. The Great Northern Radio Show is a production of Northern Community Radio, an independent community station in northern Minnesota. Proudly affiliated with National Public Radio, Northern Community Radio was the first public radio station in the United States of America, an innovator in broadcasting radio waves through dense foliage, and the only station in Minnesota to adjust its programming based on the migratory pattern of North American birds. Yeah. We share modern life off the beaten path. We load up music, stories, and comedy about real people and places and haul them on the radio rails to new media frontiers. This is our first show from the Twin Cities metro area, and we are honored that the good folks here at North Hennepin agreed to host this special program. We'd also like to thank our friends at KBEM Jazz 88, the Twin Cities voice for jazz and education, for carrying this live broadcast in the heart of the big city. So whether you're tuning in on Highways 694 or 169, northeastern Minnesota or northeast Minneapolis, welcome to our traveling show. Thank you. Wow, this is cool. Hey, tonight's Great Northern Radio Show is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and Town Hall Brewery in Minneapolis. You'll hear more from the Great Northern Radio players, special guests, talented musicians, all coming up. But first, welcome to our old friends, the Rowe Family Singers. Thank you. Rowe Family Singers. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio and Jazz 88. We're broadcasting live from North Hennepin Community College in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. And that was the Rowe Family Singers and North Hennepin Community College graduate, Kim Rowe, right there on the clog. Did you take your clog lessons here at the college? Yeah. She's a little wore out. That was tough business. That was above college level. That was master's degree level. Dancing there. Brooklyn Park is the sixth largest city in the state of Minnesota, bigger than St. Cloud or Mankato, rapidly catching up with Duluth in census figures. But if you ask most Minnesotans where to find Brooklyn Park, they'll quickly don the vacant expression of a lost soul, jabbing randomly at the brightly colored inset on the state map that displays the suburbs. The suburbs, after all, are model communities built on top of the past, a decorative blanket serving to keep people and their secrets safely apart from one another. Maybe your brother lives here, his children, and his wife, your sister-in-law, the one whose jaw clicks when she chews. You only have to deal with that on the holidays, but one can only imagine what that's like every day there in that ranch home in the suburbs. In the breakfast nook. Every day. Maybe your daughter married some young professional, a real go-getter, a well-meaning fellow, took your little girl to the suburbs. And there she dwells, no longer a girl, but a mother who sells overpriced cookware to fellow stay-at-home moms on the side. They drink wine at noon, and she'll be up this summer, up from the suburbs. She'll tell you she wishes she could move back, but her husband, he stares out the window at the old camper you keep in the backyard, the one you use to sight your rifles. And you can't quite make it out on his face, but that's contempt, maybe pity even. And you know your daughter won't be back unless this guy runs off with a gal from work. And you'd hope for that, but frankly, he doesn't have the looks to pull it off. So that's that. One time back in college, a girlfriend who was not a girlfriend, if that makes sense, brought me out to the suburbs to visit her family. I wandered off in the morning to smoke a cigarette and avoid an untenable social situation, but by the time I had lit that second cigarette, I was lost. I couldn't have gone that far, but nevertheless, I was adrift in a patchwork of identical houses, unaware of so much as the garbage pickup schedule or the much less the community standards as related to the watering and maintenance of lawns. It was all foreign. I didn't know the name of the street or even the city. Everything was curved. You couldn't get a straight sight line anywhere. My working knowledge of my surroundings was not terribly different from that of a golden retriever who slipped his collar. And just like a dog, I found my way back not with intellect, but rather as a basic function of muscle memory and hunger, really, to get back for breakfast. You come to find out, however, if you put in the time, that not all suburbs are alike. No, some people stare into the heart of the suburbs and see only an abyss. But if you stare at the abyss long enough, sometimes the fixed steel gaze of pro wrestling's Jesse the Body Ventura will stare right back at you. You all know where I'm going with this. I have cheered and booed the announcement of many an election result over the years, but nothing compares to the sound of Tom Brokaw saying, "We have a projection in the Minnesota governor's race. Former pro wrestler Jesse Ventura has won the race." We did it. We actually went and did it. The state of hot dish, Pearson's nut rolls, sugar beets, and the genial liberalism of Hubert Humphrey had just elected a professional wrestler whose motto in the ring was, quote, "Win if you can, lose if you must, but always cheat," end quote. His catchphrase from his most popular movie, Predator, was, "I ain't got time to bleed," which he says right before the predator makes a giant hole in his torso. I saw that movie at a slumber party, and it was awesome. Jesse was known mostly as a character he played, but he ran as a citizen on a mission. After all, he had been mayor of Minnesota's sixth largest city. In case you forgot, we're in that city right now, right here in Brooklyn Park, standing on a stage where, after returning from service in Vietnam, Jim Janos, the young man who would become Jesse Ventura, portrayed a Roman soldier on this very stage, actually right about here, right in this general area. Jim Janos attended North Hennepin Community College, where he participated in theater and played football back in the 70s. I've heard a couple stories since I got down here. One of the stories, he's on the football team, and the bus is driving along, and a beautiful woman has got car trouble. Her tire is flat. Jim says, "Let's stop the bus and help her." The bus driver says, "No, we have to go wherever this team is supposed to go. You can't do that." And in a way only the future Jesse Ventura could, that bus was stopped. And Jim Janos helped the young woman out, and she is Mrs. Ventura to this day. Also, his theater director in college ended up designing, here at North Hennepin, ended up designing his wrestling outfits for the rest of his wrestling career. A little-known trivia fact, so a little North Hennepin connection to the fame there. Brooklyn Park is where the suburbs yell. This is where the bland, passive-aggressive, snow leopard spirit of repressed Minnesotans found their voice in 1998, and one day we may howl again. Yes, Governor Ventura's administration was a mixed bag of competent administration and paranoid delusion. Yes, he took a side job doing color commentary for wrestling-inspired football and referred to members of the local media as jackals, and no one really understood that thing he grew on his face after he left office. It's not clear. We don't really need to understand, though. We only need to bear witness that this happened here in Minnesota, right here in Brooklyn Park. We shocked the world. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. I'm Aaron Brown. More to come, but first, welcome back the Roe Family Singers.
Bill Rubin is a weed man, the doctors are catching him. And when they do, they give him a tan. Run, little Billy, run. Run, little Billy, run, run, little Billy, run, run, little Billy, run, run, Billy, run, run. Bill Rubin saw sweet little girl, sweetest little girl in the whole round world. Stopped her ears with silent swirls. Run, Billy, run.
Run, little Billy, run, run, little Billy, run, run, little Billy, run, run, Billy, run. Run, little Billy, run, run, little Billy, run, run, Billy, run, run, little Billy, run, run, Billy, run.
Bill Rubin's a fine little lad, he's decided to be
are listening to the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio and Jazz 88. We're broadcasting live from North Hennepin Community College in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. Hello to all the folks back home in northern Minnesota, including the folks in my city of birth and site of our first show, Hibbing. Hibbing is the town that moved itself 5 miles south to accommodate iron mining and moved Bob Dylan 1,337 miles east to accommodate rock and roll. I've met a number of former Hibbingites down here in Brooklyn Park. Brooklyn Park is listed as a suburb, but no suburb started out that way. Fewer than 100 years ago, Brooklyn Township was an active farming community. As the city encroached on the land and the township split into what would become two cities, Brooklyn Center to the east and Brooklyn Park here in the west, the crop of choice was potatoes. In fact, the city still celebrates Tater Days every year, coming this June 18th through 21st, right here in Brooklyn Park. Joining me now on stage is a genuine, lifelong potato farmer. And so welcome, Eldon Tessman. So, Eldon, you grew up on a potato farm and farmed for many years. Tell us a little bit about your family operation.
I'm fortunate enough to live on my great-grandfather's farmstead yet. It's only a half a mile east of North Hennepin Community College. My great-grandfather came here in 1870. And I'm the fourth generation.
It'd really be an over or understatement to say that the city has changed a lot since you were farming potatoes. Tell us about how Brooklyn Park has changed around you since you were young.
It's changed a great deal. I'll just share this with you. In 1910, there were more railroad car loads of potatoes shipped out of Osseo, our neighboring community, than any other shipping point in the U.S. Consequently, we were known as the potato capital of the world at that time.
Right. So what stands out to you as memories of all those years? When did you stop farming potatoes, and can you tell us a little bit how that, first of all, tell us about that, and then maybe some of your memories about farming potatoes here in town.
I'm going to share with you, the 1930s were a very difficult time in this area as far as raising potatoes were concerned. It was very hot and very dry. Potatoes do need water. In 1935, they started irrigating in this area. In fact, my father put in a deep well at where I live at the present time, and I'm still using that today to water our lawns. So I raised potatoes up until 1976. It was another dry year. We started irrigating on Memorial Day, irrigated the crop out, and when we got through that fall, we sold some of the potatoes for $2 a hundred. And my wife said, "Do we really have to do this?" And so consequently, that was our last year raising potatoes.
Well, what do you think of Brooklyn Park now? I mean, what has that tradition meant to this community, the potato farming tradition?
We provided the area for development, homes, business, what have you. I'm very proud of this community. I've lived here all my life, hope to live here a little bit longer. And like I say, we're finally getting some development along 610. It's been a long time coming, but like I say, I'm just very happy to see this development. And it won't be too long before Brooklyn Park will be entirely developed out, and that'll be good.
All right. Eldon Tessman, thank you so much, sir. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio. I'm Aaron Brown. We are broadcasting live from North Hennepin Community College from the potato capital of the world, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. Our show is made possible in part by Town Hall Brewery, with award-winning craft beer and food in a relaxed environment on the fringes of downtown Minneapolis. More at townhallbrewery.com. Welcome back, the Rowe Family Singers.
Thank you.
great Northern radio show on Northern Community Radio and Jazz 88 in Minneapolis. We're broadcasting live from North Hennepin Community College in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. Hey, I'm Aaron Brown. The Great Northern Radio Show was born in the 218. I'm referring to the area code ubiquitous across the forests and lakes of northern Minnesota, the northern burgs of Duluth, Bemidji, and the Iron Range. Back in kindergarten, I learned how to use the phone at our trailer house, a corded rotary dial number on the wall of the family's junkyard trailer house in Zim, south of Eveleth. And I learned that when it came time to call Grandpa and Grandma Brown's house, you just dialed the number. But when you needed to call Grandpa and Grandma Johnson in Keewatin, you had to dial those very important numbers, 218. And then something happened a couple years after that. Our mom and dad loaded us up in the back of the station wagon with suitcases. They told us to get in. They drove off to a land far away. It was a mythical, mysterious land, a place whispered on the wind, drifting into my room with the drone of the television announcers from the living room. We weren't going to Duluth. We were going somewhere else. Not this time, no. We were going to the Twin Cities. Actually, it was Golden Valley. Yeah, okay. Well, we didn't know any better, so same deal. In this land, 218 meant nothing. You were on your own, son. This was at least then 612 country, and the first time you heard those numbers, if you were a 218er, it wasn't pretty. 612ers didn't understand us, and we didn't understand them. So in the spirit of our state's colorful, passive-aggressive tradition of identification with the arbitrary area codes assigned by the phone company, the Great Northern Radio Players now present Area Code Rumble.
All right, Trisha and Gramps, keep your eyes open. We're walking in the cities at night. That means we could get attacked at any moment.
Sure thing, Randy. Have you seen the TV news? Metro crime has never been worse, according to something my grandma said many years ago.
I had a bad experience shortly after Korea.
All right, us 218ers have to stick together. We came down here to the Twin Cities for three reasons. One, to see Garth Brooks at the Target Center.
Check! Wasn't he wonderful? When he sang The River, I just wanted to crawl up his big sweaty frame like a jungle gym.
He was all right. Two, we need to attend a professional sporting event that we don't remember because we blacked out.
Did we do that?
I think so. I remember a men's room with a trough somewhere. And third, we need to help Gramps find the guy selling that boat he saw online.
I like boats more than I hate computers.
Well, stay alert. If you ain't on the freeway, you're in danger.
What's that?
Over there.
Well, 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 what do we have here, Gregory?
Looks like a pack of 218ers, Skyla.
I don't know. It's so hard to see them, what with all that camouflage.
Not hard to smell them, though.
Hey, that's just some venison jerky I've had in my pocket for a period of time.
Holy crap, Randy. That's from November.
What's a bunch of flannel fetish 218ers doing down here in the 612?
Back off, lady. No one wearing that many scarves gets to talk down to my man.
Hey, no one with that many back tats gets to sass my committed life partner.
Hey, leave her alone. Those tattoos are tributes to our kids. And also motorcycles.
Let me spell it out for you. We don't need any 218ers down here making the clubs lame, clogging up the roads with bad driving, or voting for anyone other than R.T. Ryback.
No time for that. God, I love R.T.
Well, we don't need 612ers sucking back craft brews while looking down their noses at our domestic cars.
Yeah, here's what I think of you.
Hey, he knocked my fedora in the mud.
You took it too far.
She tore my favorite Jack Daniels pajama pants.
All right, just hold on. Now, there's got to be a better way to handle this.
In my day, we usually used to call that a rumble.
A rumble? Yeah, whatever. Get your phone out. What's a rumble?
Yeah, let's do that.
Are you all Googling what rumble means?
Oh, it's a fight. Yeah, let's fight.
Oh, good. I was worried it was some weird metrosexual thing. So yeah, let's fight.
Weapons?
An aluminum bat from Checo's bar softball team.
Yeah, and my 10-inch Jiffy 4-stroke ice auger. God damn choke.
Nice. Your lame weapons will make it easy for me to cleave your skulls with this.
Stupid hoe.
Hey, don't talk to her that way.
Knock it off, Gregory. It actually is a hoe. Yesterday, it tilled a community garden. Today, it thirsts for 218 blood.
And check this out. I weaponized a Keurig single-serving coffee maker.
What flavor is that pod you just put in, Gregory?
That one is my favorite. 218 tears.
We'll see who's crying after we get done with you.
On my mark, we rumble. One, two...
Hold on there, everyone. Hold on. Hi, I'm Ed. Hi, Ed. Ed Gunderson. Hi, I'm Ed. Hi, Ed Gunderson. Hi, how are you doing? Say, I've been following all of this on Twitter.
Twitter? Who's tweeting this?
Well, it looks like at 6124EVA.
Gregory!
I can't self-censor, Skyla. That would be selling out my brand.
Well, it occurs to me that you 218ers and 612ers are always fighting, but no one ever talks about us up in the 763. So we thought we'd come down and show you kids a thing or two. Ah, geez.
This dude brought a pipe. It's getting serious.
Well, actually, it's the post that came with a bird feeder I bought at Home Depot. You have the option of putting it on the post or hanging it on your deck. We tried it from the post, but it just looked better hanging on the deck. So reduce, reuse, recycle. That's what we said.
So, Ed, are you here with a gang or something? I only see you.
Oh, my wife Diane is in the van. She's on the phone. Everyone's caught in traffic. I told them to stay off 94, but everyone just goes the way their phone tells them to go. So, Diane, are you coming?
I'm on the phone with Becky. Did you tell them about 763?
Yes.
Did you tell them how we're sick of them forgetting us?
Yes, dear, we did that.
Tell them we pay taxes.
I know, dear, yes, I will tell them that, yes.
Ask them if they know how hard it is to be part of the middle class when you've got two girls at the U.
Okay, yes, dear.
Tell them!
Yes. Now, did you folks get all that? Did you get... Okay.
We're wasting time. If you want a piece of the action, 763, you go right ahead. It's time to rumble.
Hey, knock it off.
What now? Who are you?
I'm Paul from the 651. We'd just like all of you to please be quiet. You know, we've got work in the morning. You ever heard of that? You can hear everything clear across the river.
Sorry, Paul. We didn't realize that this was a problem.
Oh, yeah. I know how it is. You want to have fun. But some people have responsibilities. Anyway, it'd have to involve the authorities in this matter, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely not, Paul. No. Wow. We're really sorry. We'll knock it off. Right, guys?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Who is this dipwad?
He can't help it.
Hey, everyone, back to my house. Diana's gonna do make your own tostadas in the rumpus room.
Tell them to bring a dish to pass.
The Great Northern Radio Player. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio and Jazz 88. We're broadcasting live from North Hennepin Community College in Brooklyn Park. Our show is made possible in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and Town Hall Brewery in Minneapolis. Town Hall Brewery opened in 1997 in downtown Minneapolis, and they serve food, mixed drinks, and craft beer. We're excited to welcome our next guest to stage. They're just a giant band that fuses jazz and funk. They're fan favorites everywhere they play. Here they are, New Sound Underground.
Yeah.
Underground. This is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio and Jazz 88 in Minneapolis. We're broadcasting live from North Hennepin Community College in Brooklyn Park. Hello to all the folks back home in northern Minnesota, including our friends in Grand Rapids, where you'll find the original KAXE Studios, and Bemidji, where you'll find KBXE Studios. Our stations run with a lot of help from volunteers. As any listener to Northern Community Radio knows, one of them is a hairy fellow who sneaks into the studios for late-night shifts. He goes by the name Satch, and while he doesn't like to make a big deal about it, he is a Sasquatch. Well, in the spirit of our friend Satch, I'm happy to welcome our next act. Phil and Jules Darg are North Hennepin Theater alumni. They both logged a lot of hours on this stage. In 2012, Phil wrote Sasquatched the Musical about Arthur, a dignified fellow who just happens to be one of those rare humanoid ape people otherwise known as Sasquatch. In 2013, the show was chosen as a Next Link selection in the New York Musical Theater Festival and was performed in New York in July 2013. The show was later performed here in Minneapolis as well. We're very excited to welcome Phil and Jules to our stage, where along with a little help from the Rowe Family Singers and our Great Northern Radio Players, they're going to treat us to a selection from Sasquatch, the musical, a little setup. In this scene, Bert, a loner who has been camping out in the woods, returns to his favorite watering hole to relate his encounter with Arthur, the Sasquatch.
I swear, I've had it with this bunch of losers. If something doesn't happen soon to turn things around,
Hey, everybody!
Oh, hey, Bert. What's all the excitement about?
It's Bigfoot! I saw him out in the woods! No, really, I ain't kidding. It was less than 15 minutes ago. I heard a sound. I looked up, and there he was, big and hairy. And he gave off this horrible stank.
That was probably you.
I'm telling you, it was Bigfoot, right in front of me.
That whole Bigfoot thing is just a great big hoax.
Oh, no, really, really, I did see him.
Oh, go on, Bert. Are you sure you didn't just have one too many?
Yeah, big friends and Bert.
Now, dang it, listen to me. I wasn't drunk. I saw him. I really did.
Well, I was camping outdoors on a Saturday night, sitting neat the stars when I got a bad fright. Out popped a monster from the darkened woods. It was a Bigfoot man. He was after my goods. He was 8 feet tall and he smelled like a skunk.
8 feet tall and he smelled like a skunk.
He was 8 feet tall and he smelled like a skunk.
But how do we know that you weren't just drunk?
Well, he turned towards me and he started to growl. I looked for a weapon, but he started to howl. It was then that I knew I had run out of luck. I got so scared that I ran for my truck. He was 8 feet tall and he smelled like a skunk.
8 feet tall and he smelled like a skunk.
He was 8 feet tall and he smelled like a skunk.
But how do we know that you weren't just drunk?
Hey, now, you listen to me when I tell you. I saw Bigfoot, I really did. He was out there, he was big, he's hairy, he's real, I tell you, he's real.
Well, I came back here and I told you my tale about the Sasquatch who began to wail. We should call up the sheriff so this thing can be caught, but I don't know if you believe me or not. He was 8 feet tall and he smelled like a skunk.
8 feet tall and he smelled like a skunk.
He was 8 feet tall and he smelled like a skunk.
But how do we know that you weren't just drunk? How do we know that you weren't just drunk?
Phil and Jules Darg and Sasquatched the Musical. We'll have another number from them later on, and if you're interested in their play, it's sasquatched.ed.com, not ed. You know what I mean? The verb? Okay. Okay, this is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio and Jazz 88. We're broadcasting live from North Hennepin Community College in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. Not only is this our first Metro show, but it's our first TV crossover show, because you might not have realized it. We're recording this right now for Channel 12 here in Brooklyn Park in the northwestern suburbs, so we'll be on public cable access television sometime next week, and those of you back home can look at 12.tv, that's the number 12 spelled out .tv, and watch us online. But first of all, here's a guy who knows a thing or two about these northwest suburbs. He's a big person involved with Channel 12. Here's Dave Kaiser. And you know a little bit about the college, too, don't you, Dave?
Yes, been in the area for about 30 years, doing lots of stories about the community, but also about this college as well.
Absolutely. Well, so we talked about Brooklyn Park's past a moment ago, so I'm real curious, how would you describe Brooklyn Park today?
Unknown gem. I grew up in Bloomington, so not too far from Brooklyn Park, but if you would have asked me when I was living in Bloomington where Brooklyn Park was, I could not have told you. But now that I've been in this area for about 25, 30 years, it is a gem. Mississippi River, parks, community, it's a great place to live.
Cool. Well, what makes Brooklyn Park unique from other suburbs? What stands out to you?
Well, a couple things. Obviously, the diversity is a big point, and I'll mention a little bit more about that. But another thing that I have heard from some that have been before me in the city is three school districts. So the city of Brooklyn Park is part of three school districts. And a lot of times, what builds community and identity is the school district, as obviously up north in smaller towns, that's the case. But here, that hasn't been the case as much because everyone goes to a different high school. And so what's happened here is that responsibility has fallen to the residents and the community itself. And they've done a great job building community here.
What do you think has made this a city that, or I should say, what are the challenges you think that come with being a city that's grown and diversified so much over a relatively short amount of time?
It has been amazing, and you think back and you think in the early days it was the Swedes and those from Norway and Germany that came and were the new people to the community. And now it's those from Africa and from Asia. And some of the challenges that I've heard about and we've done stories about is you'll hear about people from another country that don't know how to react when the police car comes up behind you. Or how do I take care of my lawn? They've never had a home with a lawn. And so they have to depend on the city to really instruct them of what it means to cut the weeds and not park in the middle of your lawn.
Looking ahead for Brooklyn Park, what do you see the future as for this place and what lies beyond?
I think it's a fantastic future. Eldon mentioned 610 and the freeway that's just to the north of us here, just north of the college. So business is booming. Youth are very important to this community. In fact, I just interviewed the mayor this week, and he's going to Washington, D.C. to talk about things they're doing here with the youth and going to Los Angeles. So the youth are a big positive part of what's going on here in the community.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Dave Kaiser, for your time here tonight.
You're welcome.
Telling us about Brooklyn Park. Give him a hand, folks. Well, this is the Great Northern Radio Show on Northern Community Radio and Jazz 88. I'm Aaron Brown. Tonight, we're broadcasting live from North Hennepin Community College, the theater here, for our spring show. Next year, North Hennepin Community College will celebrate its 50th year. Founded in 1966, this college has ushered the students and surrounding community through many changes in the modern era. But as our Great Northern players will now show, North Hennepin Community College was a part of American history. President Lyndon B. Johnson was the one who installed the elaborate recording system in the Oval Office that became so famous under President Nixon. Well, thanks to the Johnson tapes, now made public in the 21st century, we have access to conversations that demonstrate how Brooklyn Park was once a hot topic at the White House.
He's on, sir.
Hubert?
Yes, Mr. President. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, anything for my bald-headed, puffy-cheeked, Scandahoovian vice president. I wouldn't want to be on your bad side. You might tug on my sleeve or some such thing. I swear, Hubert, you're docile, like a Canadian. You smell better than a Canadian, though, I grant you that. Well, I was once in a steam room with Lester Pearson, Prime Minister of Canada, and I swear it was like I was in a gravy factory. Man was like a gravy fountain. But you don't smell like that. You smell kind of minty.
Thank you, Mr. President. That's what I strive for.
You do a good job, Hubert. They love you up there in Minnesota. I bet they name a stadium after you someday. It'll fall down in the snow, of course, but for a time, your family will be very proud.
Thank you, sir. I'm calling to ask you a favor.
Name it, Hubert. Anything.
Well, back in Minnesota, they're opening a new college up north of Minneapolis called North Hennepin Junior College. It's in Brooklyn Park. They're going to have a big ceremony, and I thought it might be nice if you signed some kind of proclamation.
Junior college, huh? Well, we need more of those. Wouldn't want people walking around ignorant like some of the fellows we know in Congress. I used to teach, you know. Hell, I had got a teaching at a junior college, I might never have run for office. Good thing. Who knows who might be sitting in this seat?
Maybe me, sir.
Don't get fresh with me, Hubert. You'd be shoveling snow half drunk on rhubarb schnapps if it weren't for me.
You're probably right about that, Mr. President. Do you think you could help with the proclamation?
Well, sure. Let's take it down now. Jenny, you on?
Yes, Mr. President.
Jenny, I'm going to give dictation on a proclamation for my friend Hubert here. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Lyndon Baines Johnson, President of the United States, do hereby congratulate North Hennepin Junior College in Brooklyn Center.
Park, sir. Brooklyn Park.
Well, ain't that the same thing?
No, sir. It's a different place.
Is that the same thing as Anoka?
It's all in the same general area, yes.
Anyway, I declare North Hennepin, et cetera, as the shining educational beacon of that place we were talking about just north of Minneapolis. Which is a city I've actually been to. Hey, Hubert, you remember when we went and saw that waterfall?
Yes, sir.
What was that waterfall called? That was special.
That was Minnehaha Falls, Mr. President.
Oh, don't be yanking on my bullwhip now, son. You don't really call it that, do you?
Sir, is this in the letter?
It ain't in the letter, Jenny. It's a proclamation. Type it up on that special paper that feels like leather.
I'm sorry, sir. We don't have any of that kind left.
Well, hell, Jenny. Get Bob Roscoe on the phone.
Yes, sir.
You may wish to mention something about preparing the sons and daughters of Hennepin County for a brighter future.
Jenny will fix that up. How is the family, Hubert?
Oh, wonderful, sir. My oldest is...
Bob Roscoe on the line, sir.
Okay, can if Hubert. Bob Roscoe, you own that paper plant up by Philadelphia, right?
Yes, Mr. President, and we're big supporters of yours.
I know, that's why I'm calling. You all, your daddy, I think it was, made up some paper for me one time that was real nice, like a baby cow's backside. Didn't smear, felt like fabric.
Yes, Mr. President.
Now, I need a couple reams of that, maybe some envelopes, too.
We have many kinds of paper, sir. The Quillmaster won't smear, but the Executor is much softer.
Well, what kind holds up the best? We want this here proclamation to last into the next century. This is a proclamation. I'm not wiping my bunghole here.
Well, Mr. President, we make quality paper, but I can't see into the future.
I was afraid of that. Jenny, patch in Dr. Pennybaker at the university.
Which university, sir?
The secret one, 5 miles below Denver.
Right away, sir.
Mr. President, I wasn't aware that we had secret universities below Denver.
Need to know basis, Hubert. Don't trouble yourself. Any scenario we need them is one in which you are a crispy critter.
Dr. Pennybaker is on the line, Mr. President.
Pennybaker, you still pale, smart, and weird?
Mr. President, yes, I am very much the same, yes.
good. You remember that time portal you showed me? That deal in the basement there that makes all the whooping sounds and such? Well, anyway, I need you to patch a call through there so I can talk to someone in the future.
Hold on, Mr. President. I didn't mean for this to be so much trouble. I just wanted a simple proclamation for the people in Brooklyn Park.
And that's just what you're going to get. What do you say, Pennybaker? I need a call to the future.
Well, I suppose I could make a sort of radio connection with a future time period. They have mobile telephone signals and something called the Internet that allows for information to be sent on computers instead of being printed out. Give me a moment to make my calculations.
Okay, Pennybaker. Pop that portal just as soon as you can.
Say, Mr. President, I don't like the sound of this Internet thing. Sounds like it would be bad for the paper industry.
Roscoe, you think too much. They'll have to print the directions on something, won't they? Don't fight the future, Bob.
Mr. President, I have the portal open, and we have established a phone connection with the 2015.
Good. Call North Hennepin Junior College in Minnesota.
Okay, is this in the Coon Rapids? Actually, it's Brooklyn Park. Again, same place. I see. Yeah, it's called North Hennepin Community College now. Yeah, I've started the call.
All right, everybody, be quiet. I'll handle this.
Hello, North Hennepin Community College Admissions. This is Madison.
Oh, this is Lyndon Johnson, President of the United States.
Aren't you dead?
Probably. I'm calling from the past through a space-time portal. Listen, what was it? Madison? Wait a minute. I thought we were calling Minnesota.
You are, sir. Madison is my name.
What were your parents thinking? I wish I had time for pleasantries, but I need you to step out in the hallway and check something for me. Do you have a proclamation from me dated 1966 congratulating your college?
Yes, Mr. President. It's right here by our office.
How is that paper holding up? Is it yellow or nasty looking?
It's a little yellow, and it looks like some of the ink smeared when they put it in the frame.
Damn it, Bob, this is what I was talking about.
I'm sorry, sir. Perhaps if we were to try a special treatment on the Executor, we might get it to hold. Here, I'll put in the order.
I can't believe it! The paper just cleared right up! It looks brand new!
There you go, Bob. That's more like it. Send me over a box of that special paper.
Yes, sir. Where should I send it?
White House. Bye now. Wisconsin, that is all. Congratulations on your college's 50th year.
Thank you, Mr. President. Goodbye.
Mr. President, Gott in Himmel. While I was closing the time portal, something went wrong. You know those pro-segregation congressmen you banished here underneath the mountain so you could pass that Civil Rights Act?
Yeah.
Well, they wandered through the portal into the year 2015.
Oh, that is not good. That cannot be good at all. Well, we best let that dog lie. Just a little gristle in the gravy. Thank you, Dr. Bennett Pennybaker. That is all. Hubert, you still on?
Yes, Mr. President.
Jenny will have this proclamation typed up by tomorrow morning. You want to haul it up there yourself, or should we send it in the mail?
I'll bring it when I go home this weekend.
I'm sorry. I forgot to ask if you got to be president after me, Hubert. I'm sure you do, really. We just won a landslide against Goldwater, and the Republicans are talking about running on Nixon again. Can you believe it?
Thank you, Mr. President. It's a sure thing, just like the Minnesota Vikings behind that Fran Tarkenton.
The Great Northern Radio Players. That's it for our first hour. Here's New Sound Underground.
Thank you.